Last week, we needed to just kind of update everybody, and I gave you exhortation, build your life in advance of things happening, because when they happen, you might not have time to get ready for it, right? Let's review it again, 3 John 2, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things, be in health, just as your soul prospers. So the last two messages when we worked on this had to do with God's desire is for you to be healthy and for you to prosper. Now, when the Bible talks about prosperity, as it says here, in all things, financial comes to mind readily, and it is very definitely a part of this prosperity. When you prosper financially, you can help a lot of trouble. You can fix a lot of problems. Instead of believing God for that car to go another month, you can just get it fixed or get a new one, amen. Right? Amen. Amen. So I've been there, believing God for that car to go another mile, and I'm not there no more because I've prospered since then. Amen. Amen. Financial is very much a part of it. Well, just think about this. About every person you find that really followed God was stinking wealthy. Job, Abraham, David, Solomon. You could just go through the list. People who follow God closely, if they'll prosper in soul, that's what we're going to talk about today, they will become wealthy to a measure. There's different measures and all of that. But the Bible talks about being rich, and the word means a full supply. It means having everything you need and even an extra, help other people. So the moment that all your needs are met and you got enough, that there's some spare, you could make some choices, some investments, some decisions, you can help other people, you can be a generous soul. Mm-hmm. By the way, you can be generous before you're rich, yes. Right. Meaning all your needs are met. In fact, it's a key to getting rich,
yes, it
is being generous.
Yes.
Remember what that scripture said, he who waters him will himself be watered. Some of us desire to be rich and we're not, and this is part of the problem, we're not generous. Rich means a full supply. By that definition, we're loaded with rich people in here.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. And everybody who would say, well, I'm not sure I'm there, God wants you to be one of the rich people.
Oh, yes.
And you can.
Yes.
Hang around here a little bit and you will.
Yeah.
Amen. If you'll take into your heart things that we teach from the word here. So that's the will of God. But it says there, just as your soul prospers. So here's the thing that you need to know. The measure of how much health will be in your life, the measure of how much prosperity will be in your life, is equal to the measure your soul has prospered. Your soul has grown, right? And I'll just be so bold as to say this. I mean, somebody's got to tell us. If you're discontent with where you're at, be discontent with yourself because you have not done what you need. We have done. Let me quit being accusatory and just include myself. We have not done what we need to do to prosper our souls or grow our souls. When your soul grows, your health grows. When your soul grows, your prosperity grows. And people sometimes talk about, well, you can only get so far. I have limitations. I'm single. I'm uneducated. I'm whatever it was. And we could provide excuses. Amen. But if you'll grow in soul, you'll exceed those ceilings, those limitations. By the way, as fast as you can grow your soul, you can grow in health and prosperity.
Yes.
Amen. So you see here the relationship. You won't grow in these other things faster than you grow in your soul. And so the soul, what is it? It's the mind, the will, the intellect, and the emotion, the place where we feel things. And so here we have two very wonderful blessings. And we're going to talk about the soul some today, kind of going more into what the soul is so you clearly understand what needs to grow. And how are you going to grow your soul? By the Word of God and the teaching of the Word of God. You ever hear of soul food?
Yeah.
Black-eyed peas? Collard greens? Yeah. Well, that's fine. But I'm telling you, soul food is the Word of God. The Word of God. Jesus said, I am the bread of life.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 5 and 23, and we're going to talk about the soul, making sure the soul and other parts of us, so we make sure. Now, some of this is going to be things you've heard, but there is always new illumination, even in the word that you've heard. And God can now go, and you understand something, and you see something you never saw before. Happens to me all the time. In scriptures that I could probably quote because I've seen them so many times. But 1 Thessalonians 5 and 23, it says this. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. Sanctify, people use that word for different things, but it simply means to set apart or to pull out to keep for yourself as special. Like if you had a marble collection and you have one that's just extra special, to sanctify it would mean that you pull it out of the bucket of marbles and you put it in the trophy case. You separate it out. So God is separating us out as trophies from the rest of the world. So that's what that means, to be separated out. People talk about being sanctified as in separating from a sinful life and so on. Yeah, it means that too, being separated out. But God himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole, notice this, spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we see here already a few things. First of all, that we are to be set apart, that God would help us with that, be part of that process, and there is a completeness. If there is a completeness, there can also be an incompleteness. Right? And to be completely sanctified would require that all three parts of us be sanctified or set apart. And it identifies those three parts. Now, it's a lot like God where we say three in one, Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, yet one God. So it's sometimes a little bit hard to maybe explain, well, how exactly is this? But you can see there, spirit, soul, and body. We are triune beings. We have three parts. And very clearly, it lists them in a particular order. Spirit first, then soul, then body. You'll find that when people quote this verse from memory, they often will reverse the order. Body, soul, and spirit. Body, soul, and spirit. Body, soul, and spirit. Why is that? Because unknowingly, we're more familiar with body than we are with spirit. And we think predominantly in terms of body, and then soul, and spirit comes in last. But from God's perspective, God's view, number one is spirit, number two is soul, and lastly is body. And so to be set apart means that all three parts, to be set apart completely, would have to have a work of God in them, right? So spirit, soul, and body. This very definitely identifies the three parts. And as you look at these things, the word spirit would be in Greek pneuma, and its definition is breath or air, moving air. Usually it's translated spirit, a spirit, as it is here, spirit. God is a spirit. John chapter 3, God is spirit, must be worshipped in spirit and in truth. And we are created in the image of God. So being created in the image of God, what we are is a spirit being. And that's what's different from you, about you, from your dog or cat. They are not spirit beings, at least as far as I can tell from the word. If you want to argue with me, I won't put up a fight. But you are a spirit being. That's the real you. That's the eternal you. That's the part of you created in the image of God. Next, it says soul. That word is psuche. In Greek, it's spelled P-S-U-S-C-H-E, psuche. P-S-U-C-H-E. And if you're writing that, you look at that, you can see it's a form where we get a word psyche. And so when we mention someone's psyche, you know, I just want to get into the psyche of how, and it has to do with how a person thinks.
Yeah.
Psychological, psyche, it's a form of that word. So that is always used concerning the soul, at least in New Testament where it's written in Greek. And so psuche is the soul. different words, they are different things, all right? And body is pretty much self-explanatory, and it talks about substance and flesh, and it's the same word, animal, human, all the same. It's a body. It's a flesh. Peter referred to the body as a tent. He said he will soon put off this tent. So, we are a spirit, we possess a soul, and we live in a body. Amen. So, and the scripture talks about this a lot. The body, the flesh, has appetites, desires. The spirit, once born again, wants to please God and is, we'll get to it, a new creature in Christ. But in between the two is the mind, the emotion, the thinking, the soul. Sometimes you see in cartoons or movies or something like that, maybe with an animation or trickery on a camera, somebody will be contemplating something and an angel version of them pops up on one side and a devil version of them pops up on the other side and they're speaking in the air and going back and forth in a battle. Yeah, that's more accurate than you might think. It's the voice of the flesh and the voice of the spirit. And who is the target of that battle? It's the soul, the mind. So when there are three, there can never be a split decision. It's going to be two against one in every issue. Paul wrote about this struggle, how with his spirit he wanted to serve God. With his flesh, he found himself doing things that he just is aghast that he did that. In the flesh, you know, those appetites, those desires, all that kind of thing. So what I'm saying is when this battle comes up, it is the soul that decides the direction for the entire being. If you're born again, your spirit's brand new, everything in it wants to please God. The body, well, the body wants to overeat and all kinds of other things, you know. You want to talk about sex and immorality and some of that kind of thing, you know. Those are strong pulls. And all of us in various measures have those things, in various areas have those things. But it is the soul that decides if we're going to give in to that desire or not. Right. Hence, the prospering of the soul growing to where the soul decides we're going to go with God's ways, right, not with what the body wants to do. Amen. Right?
Yes.
So three distinct parts that makes the whole. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, please. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Now, sometimes it's really hard to see the difference. What is soul? What is spirit? And it's difficult to say which is which, but the Word of God can do it. And I want you to notice here, they are divisible. They are distinct. They are not the same thing. And when we start talking about the word being a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart, see, I just learned something here myself looking at this. The thoughts is the soul, the intents of the heart is the spirit. And the word can discern the two. And sometimes, you know, we say of ourselves or another person, "Well, my heart is right about it." And that can be true. In your spirit, you want to do right. But in the soul, we fail and we don't do right. So the Word of God can tell the difference between a heart and the thoughts. Right? Someone might say, "I meant well, but..." And they may think, "Well, I thought to do the right thing." Actually, it was the voice of their spirit speaking, "Do this the right thing, do this the right thing." But the thoughts actually, "Nah, I think I'm going to just go ahead and do whatever." So they are distinct. They are different. I'm just establishing that. I want you to know that your thoughts, your mind, your will, your intellect, your emotions, and oh, how emotions can affect us. Many, many wrong turns have been taken when emotion is just boiling up. And we have to learn. Prospering the soul is learning how to control emotion. I will tell you this, in these recent weeks, I have felt emotion. Oh, how I have felt emotion. Little things like the exit 19 onto Henderson Street in Fort Worth, Texas, would cause me to feel something. Pulling up and seeing the emergency room sign would cause me to feel something. Going in the parking garage at the hospital would cause me to feel something. Hearing the helicopter, which is right there, come and go several times a day, every time I heard that helicopter, it would cause me to feel something. But I knew I cannot yield to those feelings. Amen. And I probably, for the rest of my life, will hear helicopters that sound like that one, the medevac helicopters. And I will remember. And I will feel. But as Paul wrote, but none of these things move me. I will remember and I will feel. Our service people, men and women that have gone overseas and fought in battles and come back, and they're affected. Some of them, they call it PTSD and so on. I understand that. The memory of things comes, just a sound, a certain smell, a flash of something, and you are right there again in hot battle, and you remember, right? How many know what I'm talking about? Oh, yeah. To various measures, some of us have experienced some of these things, and that's why men and women come back from warfare. If they've seen some things, it's really hard for them to be who they were before. But it all has to do with the soul, and when those things come back, being able to be unmoved by them, even though, oh, you remember. Oh, you remember. Amen. And that's part of, that's what prospering in soul is to remember but not be moved by it. And you might even feel the emotion. You might even shed some tears. A big deal. What's tears? Amen. Don't be moved by that. The word of God can separate them. They are distinct. Spirit and soul are distinct. And this word here is interesting where it says, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit. The word division there means distribution or apportionment. That means dividing out something. Apportionment. Think of it this way. I have four kids, and when they lived in my house and they were smaller, it was Saturday, it was time for some chores to be done. I would apportion responsibility. I would give out the jobs. Maybe at your workplace, there's a boss. They give out the responsibilities. They apportion the work. The Word of God apportions responsibility, some to the spirit, some to the soul. Do you see that? The spirit has certain responsibilities and functions. The soul has other responsibilities and functions. And it is the Word of God that gives them out, clarifies, assigns. Soul, this is your responsibility. Spirit, this is yours. All right? We won't learn about which is which and how they function and how to prosper and grow in them without understanding these apportionments, these appointments, these divisions. Right? There it is in the word. Different roles played by them. Let's contrast a little bit. I'm going to talk about the soul mostly today, but the spirit, of course, well, I guess I've kind of mentioned this. Spirit is the part of you that's just like God. Really? There's a part of me that's just like God? Yes. Amen. And when we see Jesus face to face, we're going to find out how like him we are. And we're going to be kind of shocked. You mean I really could have functioned on a whole nother level? Yep. But let's figure that out now. Let's grow up level by level. But our spirit is the part that's created just like God. The soul, again, is the mind, will, intellect, emotion. All thinking and all feeling and all deciding is done by the soul. When you hear, for instance, you're listening to me, you're considering the things I'm saying, weighing them out. Is that so, what he's saying? Is that true? And if it's the word of God, the Spirit of God in you, and your spirit is saying, yes, 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 and bearing witness with your heart, you're hearing the Word of God, yes, yes, that's true, yes, that's true. Come on, soul, pick it up, it's true. And your soul's going, yeah, but I've seen a lot of times where it didn't seem like that. And Uncle so-and-so said that, and look what happened to him. And this one died, and that one died. That's the soul deciding. So you may not know what you're doing right now, but you're listening and you are judging the Word of God right now while you sit there.
Yes.
And it's in your soul. That's where you're doing it. You're listening to these things and you may hear something that says, "That just, I never heard that before. That sounds too good to be true." And you're deciding in your soul. In your soul, you're deciding, is that true or not? And your spirit is saying, yes, 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 yes. And your body's saying, well, look, really, if you pick that up, then it's going to affect me over here, the body is saying. And I'm not sure I like that. I'm pretty comfortable with doing all the things we've been doing, okay? So let's just keep going the way we were going. What the scripture would refer to as crucifying the flesh, putting down the flesh, right? You're deciding. You're considering the word and you're deciding. Right now, your soul is active. 2 Corinthians 5:17, let's go there. Concerning the Spirit, we'll just show one scripture, and I think it's understood. We'll move on from there. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You receive the Lord. You invite him into your life. He washes you with his blood, and your spirit is recreated. Jesus said, a man must be born again. Well, you're born again spiritually. It's a brand new, never before existing spirit, child of God. Everything. The old is wiped away. The new is here. That's in your spirit. But have you noticed there's an instantaneous work in your spirit, but the body that you have before getting born again, it's still the same body afterwards? And maybe you'd like to trade it in on a younger one or a little bit differently shaped or, you know, you'd like to have something different, but your body, the moment after you're born again, is the same body that it was before. Now, the body can change as we follow God, and it can change a lot. Although you probably won't get taller, you know, not that kind of change, but certainly you can get healthier. Yeah. Yeah, so there's an instantaneous work when we're born again here. That's in the spirit. The soul is not changed the same way when one gets born again. Now, some people got born again and cigarettes. They were gone. They were done. They were over with. Just no desire. Alcohol, no desire. Got off of drugs like that. Others, that kind of a change doesn't happen in body and soul. And really, these things that we might call addictions, yeah, the body desire builds a desire and so on, but it's in the soul.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the soul where that happens. And so there are some that are changed. Others are not. There are some that immediately have such a love for people after they get born again, and their whole outlook changes. Others, they're as cranky as they were before. And that soul needs to prosper, right, in that area. So you can look back, and there may be some things in your soul, the way you thought, your emotion, all that. There may have been some changes, but not like your spirit, where all the old's gone and it's brand new.
Amen.
Those are areas where we grow. And so the soul grows. The soul is renewed. The soul prospers. And if you want to have the victories that God's Word promises, like where we started with 3 John 2, prosper in everything and be in health. How do you do it? Grow your soul. Prosper your soul. And it won't be accidental. You'll do that on purpose. Now, you are here in church this morning. Why? Because you wanted to grow your soul. I don't know if you thought of it that way or not. But you are prospering as you hear and consider and decide for the word and incorporate it and make it yours. So you already are ahead of a lot of people. Amen. You're prospering your soul that way. But church once a week will put you at a pace, but you can increase that pace, your growth. I'll say this. People who have grown tremendously and see much of blessing of God in their life, like somebody you see, they learn concerning finance, God's word, and in just a matter of months and years, they are so radically different in their life, even wealthy. How did that happen? They grew in their soul faster. You can grow as fast as you want to go.
Amen. Amen.
But it takes effort. You'll do it on purpose. Amen. Wherever you're at, if it feels like a limit, we've been here a long time, do you know why? You stop growing in that area. And maybe while I'm here, I can say this. You could grow a lot in healing and not in finance.
Amen.
Or I'd have to testify in our lives for Pastor Sandy and I, we grew a lot concerning financial prosperity. Didn't have occasion to really need the kind of thing we're growing through now in healing in the body. And people have both needs, right? You can grow strong in one area and neglect another. And so if you're strong in one area, look, where do you need to grow? And grow that before something happens where you, I'm behind, right? So the soul gets saved or sozoed over time. Spirit is instantaneous. The soul is over time. Let me show you from the word here, James 1:21. If you didn't know these things, you could read through your New Testament and get a little confused and not see what's going on here. James 1:21. It says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. First of all, see, there's something that we're supposed to do. God's done a marvelous work in us. We get born again, and there's things he's done that we couldn't do for ourselves. And then there's other things where he says, now this is for you to do. And there's a lot of folks that are just way too lazy, and they want God to do everything. I heard a minister talking about this in this phrase that a lot of people use, you know, let go and let God. As if the more we do nothing, the more he can work for us. It's not true. It's not true. It's a cliche, it's religion, and it's stupid. Amen. And now a scripture says, victory is mine, but the battle is the Lord's, right? And people say that sometimes, meaning that you don't do a thing and God just delivers. Go through your Bible. You will find that God sent them out to battle, to fight, when he's told them, I've given you the victory. You'll still go Jericho's walls and you'll march. You'll go to a battle. And occasionally the Lord told Israel, you'll go out and you'll find them all laying there dead. But that wasn't the norm. The norm is you go fight. And you fight from the position of victory because I'm telling you right now, I've given you the victory. But there's still a fight.
Amen.
So there's things that we must do is what I'm trying to say. And it's in the realm of the soul. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflowed wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. In the measure that you receive the word and you receive it as an implanted word, not just you heard it and it passed and you've lost it, but you let that word come down and settle down in your heart. How do you do that? You recall it and you turn it over and over and over. Meditation, people would call that. And the word in the Bible means to mutter or to say it again and again. I can't tell you how many times I have said in the last 2 months particular scriptures that the Lord gave me. They come out of me every morning, every night, and several times in between. I have developed a routine right now in this season for my wife. I go through the same scriptures again and again and again. They are implanted words, and it is saving my soul. It's growing me. Yeah, it's getting hard to doubt for me on some things. What can save your soul? Well, I thought I'd be saved if I received the Lord Jesus washed in his blood. Yeah, your spirit. The soul is saved by receiving the implanted word. Meekness or humility, maybe be an easy way to say that. Meekness is a humble attitude of God. I know you're right, and whatever I think, it's probably wrong. And let me take your word in, and let me start functioning according to your word. That saves your soul. That prospers your soul. That grows your soul. I would dare bet that most of us, having heard the gospel the first time, didn't receive the Lord the first time. It probably was several times and maybe even many times. And maybe even in an hour of need, we realized we got to the point of meekness. Got to meekness and you said, nah, Lord, I believe your word. If I call on your name, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the moment that your soul prospered. You got born again. You heard it. but it never was implanted until that time. So we all can attend church and get nothing. Or we can adopt this attitude of, I'm going to grow my soul and I'm going to consider these things the preacher is saying. He says, the word says this, Lord, what about that? And you go over it, and you go over it, and you go over it. And it comes a point where it settles down on the inside, and that seed sprouts, and it takes root, and a new plant, so to speak, starts growing on the inside. And that little tender seedling will become a great tree in your life if you'll continue to bring that and go, this is what the word says, and I'm adapting to the word. I'm adopting what the word says. That saves your soul. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22, please. 1 Peter 1, 22. It says in 1 Peter 1, 22, since you have purified your souls. Now, hang on a second. I thought God purifies us. No. Peter, writing to the believer, says, since you have purified your soul. We do that. God doesn't do that. I thought he made me a new creature. I'm washed in the blood. I'm brand new in Christ. You are in spirit. But there's a lot of old thinking and a lot of old habits that hang on. How do we purify that? Peter here says, you do it. You purify your soul. It says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth, there's a key how you do it. How do you purify your soul? Obey the truth. In obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren. Boy, there's keys here. Yes. It didn't say loving God. Oh, God, I love you. I love you. Those people at church, man, they're a mess. They're another story, God, but God, I love you. How do you purify your soul? Obey the truth. You'll get the help of the Spirit by loving the brethren. Oh, God, that's like impossible. That's tough to do. You want to really grow in soul? Yes. Love the brethren, and your soul just grew.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah, you have something to say about somebody? Well, cancel that and love them and say something kind, compassionate, and helpful.
Amen, Pastor.
And you just prospered in soul. Guess what the harvest of that is? Health and prospering. I mean, even if you can't do it for them, think about health and prosperity and think, you know what, I need to protect my own life here, so I'm going to bite my tongue on that, and I'm going to say something better. Amen. It says, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again. If you're born again, you got no excuse. You can do this. You've been born again? Oh, God's worked a work in me. Well, let's see it then. It's going to show. There should be obvious growth where you used to be cranky and tell people what you thought. Now you bless them with the word. You say something kind. I've learned something here in this whole experience too. In dealing with all of the doctors and the medical staff with Pastor Sandy, it became apparent to me that a certain amount of training that they receive, they attempt to manage your expectations. And some of you have been in situations with doctors. You know what I'm talking about. They tell you all the risks, all the things that are wrong, and they seem to, on purpose, try to get you to think, this is bad, this is really bad, and it's going to be really bad. So that if it turns out better, they can maybe look like, man, what a great doctor, and so on. And I got to a point where they say that it, basically they were telling me, it always turns out like this. Really? There's no exceptions? And you start talking to other people, and there's all kinds of exceptions where a case like Pastor Sandy's, they pop awake, they're all there, you know, all of that. There's exceptions everywhere. But you listen to the doctor, there's no exceptions. No, I'm the doctor here, and I say it's going to be, you know, like that. And I thought to myself, somebody must be monitoring what they say, and if they say any words of hope, a deduction from their paycheck. That cost them $1,000 to say that, you know. Seriously, I thought it really must cost them something to say something hopeful. I mean, even if they're not a believer, they could say, you know, normally it goes like this, and as they told me, 90% don't survive, and the remaining 10% have serious issues and all of that. And they couldn't they say on the last sentence, but sometimes we're surprised.
Yes.
Couldn't they say that?
Yes.
No, they don't say that. They don't say, but there's always exceptions.
Yeah.
Or that, but you never know what God will do. There were some believers that were smart enough to do that for us, some nurses and so on, you know. But I learned something, and God helped me to do it. I decided that from now on, whenever I'm talking with somebody and it's a bad situation, before I'm done, I'm going to say something to give them hope. You know, this neurologist this week that said this is recoverable. Well, I knew that, but her saying that, it helped my hope. So I'm growing in soul that I endeavor, if I fail to do that, God help me, I will. But don't finish the conversation without saying something to someone. If your situation, you think it's hopeless and it's really bad, and I agree with you, yeah, that's really bad. But God can help you. Nothing impossible. Yeah. And finally, with, I don't remember which medical staff, I said, you know, after they paint this horrible picture, I said, well, then we agree. Puzzled look, right? What do you mean we agree? We're not agreeing at all, right? We agree that it'll be a miracle of God for her to be better. Yes. Oh, well, yeah. Amen. Amen. So, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. So as we noted here, who purifies your soul or who prospers your soul? You do. And if you're behind, turn around and kick yourself in the pants. Get going here. Right? How do we do it? Obey the truth. So that prospers the soul. Go please to Romans 12 and verse 2. Romans 12, 2, it says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Remember, that's the soul. Mind, the will, the intellect, the emotions, all thinking and decision-making takes place in the mind, in the soul. And it tells us here, don't be like the world in how they do it, but let the word of God keep changing you and keep changing you. And it doesn't happen all at once. We're exposed to something in the word, and we consider it, and we start to see the light on it, and we go, I think I'm going to try that. And we try that, and we get some success, and yeah, I think I'll stick with that. And we get some more success. The mind is renewed. Amen. It really is a change in the way we think. Renewing the mind is prospering the soul, and we're to transform. If you look up the word and its definition in Greek, it means to transform the essential nature of. So it's like rearranging your whole way of thinking. Now, we are products of culture, and in one community, we have various cultures. There's the obvious. There are white folks, black folks, Hispanic folks, and whatever else we might have, and there's cultures. And we become products of the thinking of that culture. Then you could talk about the culture of the wealthy, the culture of the poor. We could talk about the culture of the uber wealthy, the uber poor. We could talk about the blue collar, the white collar, depending on the jobs. A male culture, a female culture. We are products. Our thinking patterns comes from culture that we've been exposed to. And we are to take the word of God and get a whole new culture. And scriptures declare that in Christ, there's neither Jew nor Greek. That takes care of the racial things. Neither male nor female. That takes care of that, you know. Slave nor free. But we are all the same in Christ. So it's a whole new way of thinking. You don't think poor. You don't think white. You don't think black. You don't think male. You don't think female. Amen. And whatever else there may be. Praise the Lord. And it's a good day in church. We're happy, aren't we? Yeah, we have joy. So this is no less than replacing our view of things with God's view. Amen. 1 Corinthians 2:16, it says, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Another way to say this, when it proposes here, who has known the mind of the Lord, which is a quote from the Old Testament, the answer is, we do. If you'll renew the mind, you will have the mind of Christ. Amen. It poses the question, who can know the mind of the Lord? And then answers it. The New Covenant believer can. I can't tell you how many times I was told in that hospital, we never can know God's will. Sometimes he'll rescue somebody, sometimes he won't. And they were telling me that I just need to accept the will of God, which what they were telling me was let her die.
Yeah.
Because it's evident that's the will of God, because look, right? Mm-hmm. But I had to get into it, and it was with Christians. The chaplain, the social worker, who was also a nurse and a Christian, and both of them, their testimonies were convincing. But who can know the will of God? Sometimes God says yes, sometimes he says no. And I said, you can know the will of God. He will tell you.
That's right.
He will tell you, and he's told us. And they give you the look like, you're nuts. You're nuts. You're nuts. And I learned something. The most dangerous person in the world to you is an unbelieving Christian. Those are the people most dangerous to your faith and to your soul, is a Christian who doesn't believe. There is nothing more used of the devil than an unbelieving Christian. The whole approach of the chaplains was, oh, you poor thing, and trying to comfort me. They couldn't join with me in faith. I met three or four different chaplains, and I'd start telling them things from the Word, and they had this look on, oh, really? You believe that? Can you believe that? Can you do that? I'm serious. And they were the chaplains. If you do hospital visits, you may be far better for that patient than the chaplain who comes by.
Yes.
Minister the word to people.
Amen.
Amen. They want to talk to you about counseling, and I want to talk to them about the word. So we weren't on the same page. But we can know the word of God, the mind of Christ. How do we know it? His word is his mind. His word is his will. His word is his thinking. Ephesians 4:23. 4:23, it says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Ephesians 4:23. Well, see, we're born again instantaneously, but to be renewed is a process of time. It's a growth process. So in our minds, we must be renewed. To prosper the soul is to transform our thinking, to see the bankruptcy of most of our thought patterns that are from culture in this world. I got to use examples to drive home points. So here's one of those things. When something like has happened with Pastor Sandy happens in your life, you are really tempted to ask why. Now, there is a place for figuring out, did someone misstep, her, me? Who was it? And gave the devil an opportunity. Did he find a way in and so on? And here's what the Lord said to me, and I have learned there are several areas where this is the answer. Remember how Jesus saw a fig tree far off and having leaves, and he went to see if there was fruit? And what? There was no fruit on that tree. So there, Lord, when I would even contemplate, Lord, can you ask why in a situation like that? He said to me, and I say it often now, there's no fruit on that tree. If there's no fruit on that tree, curse it and go on your way. Don't ask why. Mm-hmm. Don't ask how. Mm-hmm. Don't ask when. Okay. I had a moment of, many moments, of disbelief. This can't be happening, and it can't be happening to me. Mm-hmm. How does that help me when it did happen, and it is me?
Yes.
There's no fruit on that tree. That is recognizing the bankruptcy of those thoughts.
Yes.
Hey, there's no fruit in that. My mom said to me when she visited the hospital there in Texas, and she, with great emotion and tears and with love in her heart, she says, I even said, I wish it was me instead of Sandy. And I said to my mom, I went through the same thing. And I said to her, there's no fruit in that tree. Don't even go there. Why give that thought? That's bankrupt. There's nothing there. No fruit on that tree. I said, even though you loved her and you can see a rationale where maybe she's lived more of her life and all that kind of thing, and the church needs her, those sorts of rationales that I'm sure my mom experienced. It does not change. It wasn't her, it was Sandy. It doesn't change a thing. So it is bankrupt to the core, that thought. I had same thoughts. I would trade if given the opportunity. But I don't have the opportunity. There's no fruit on that tree. Don't go there. So renewing the mind, prospering the soul is being able to recognize the bankruptcy of a thought and rejecting it and moving on. Amen. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now I pray, God, by His Spirit, bring this to your remembrance, this phrase, there's no fruit on that tree. And when you're thinking on something, may the Spirit of God raise up on the inside of you and say, there's no fruit on that tree. And curse that tree and move on. Man, that's a gold mine right there. So the bankruptcy of our thoughts and exchange them for the glory of His thoughts. Thanks be unto God who always leads us into triumph. You mean, God, if you're leading me and I follow you, I'm always going to end up victorious? Yeah. Ooh, I like that better than win some and you lose some. Isn't that a more glorious thought? Yeah. Yeah. Isaiah 55:6, please. And this is the last for today. Isaiah 55:6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he was near. Now this goes with what I was teaching last week. Dig deep and build a foundation for the house so when the day of the storm comes, it doesn't knock the house down. Before you need it, prosper your soul. Get his thoughts. Make them your thoughts. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him. God will have mercy on you as you renew the mind and start thinking differently. He will help you. He will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Verse 8, and this is probably what you're familiar with. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And I'm going to stop there, but this is where it talks about, as the rain comes down, waters the earth, so is my word that goes forth, and it shall accomplish that thing for which I send it. And so that's connected to this. So when our thoughts line up with his word, it will produce. It's impossible for the word of God to not produce. But here you can see this. God's thoughts are higher. His ways are higher. And renewing or prospering the soul is to reject our thoughts when they're wrong and pick up God's thoughts. Pick up higher thoughts. And sometimes he can illuminate something and you got it. Most of the time it's a process of you hear it, you consider it. You hear it again and consider it. And don't wait for a preacher to preach it. You go look, find it, and consider it, and consider it. And then you start thinking, you know what? His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. And I'm going to set aside what I think, and I'm going to pick up what he thinks. And you stay with that, and you'll find the day comes where it's hard for you to think the way you used to think. It's just automatically. It's you think what he thinks. Mm-hmm. It's like a son who walks like his father, sounds like his father. You are your father's son. Right? That's what happens. That is prospering the soul. And we saw from 3 John 2 that two areas will really grow, being in health and being in all forms of prosperity. The key is prospering your soul. The benefit that comes from prospering your soul and growing in the Word is too much for anybody to start spelling it and listing it all out. Amen. Amen. You want to see change in your life? You want to see victory come? You want to see some prosperity, some health? I just shared with you how. Take these things, take this word, renew your mind, renew your soul, prosper your soul, change your thinking. Think how God thinks. You come to a good church and we share with one another, we help one another. That's how you do it. Be a part of a church, be a part of a Bible study, be in the Word yourself. Talk to God. Pray. Consider these things. Hear teachings from the Word. And recognize things in you that you go, now that's not right thinking. I reject that. And God says, and cite that word. And if he says it, he's got to be right and I got to be wrong. And don't get hung up on, well, Mama always said, you know what? She meant well. But she wasn't taught right either. Go with the Word. Ooh, I feel the presence of God coming in this place right now. Presence of God doesn't come for no reason. There's always something he wants to do. That's why he comes. First, this. None of this opens to an individual until they're born again, till they receive the Lord Jesus Christ. If perchance there's anyone listening to me today, young or old, that you've never invited the Lord Jesus into your heart, given your life to Him, where your spirit is born again, brand new, like I talked about earlier in the message, do so now. Let's all just do that. Father, in Jesus' name, I call upon the name of the Lord, because you said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I call on the Lord Jesus, save me, wash me in your blood, make me brand new. Because you are faithful and you promised to whosoever, I am a whosoever. And I receive now. I'm born again now. I have eternal life now. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name. That's first and foremost. Now that catches everybody up to now it's renewing the mind, restoring the soul, prospering the soul. And I'm still just kind of waiting on God here. Is there something He wants us to do? Sometimes it's just a moment where we don't close in a hurry so He can talk to you right where you sit. Hallelujah. Ooh, I feel a presence of God. Okay, I think I have instruction from the Lord. There's a call across this entire room. Anybody who might be watching, anybody who might hear later our recording, there's a call to all those who will respond to this. You're feeling it in you right now, in your soul. Lord, this is good food for me. I receive it, and I'm hungry for so much more. If that's you, just where you are, just stand up identifying yourself before the Lord. And we'll call that out before Almighty God, and He will do a work in you. It's not necessary that we call everybody forward, lay on our hands. You can receive right where you are. If He would have told me to bring everybody forward, I would have. Just with your heart, agree with these words, or say your own. God, this is so good. You fed my soul, and I'm so hungry for more. I'm so hungry for more. I'm so hungry for more. That's the key phrase right there. With all your heart, bring that before Almighty God. I'm so hungry for more. I'm so hungry for more. I will grow. I will prosper in my... I'm prospering now in my soul. I'll prosper more in my soul. Old thinking, I reject you in Jesus' name. Old ways, I reject you in Jesus' name. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. His ways are higher than my ways. But I am growing into His thoughts. I am growing into His ways. Now, Lord, help me. Help me, as came in the scripture, to love the brethren. Help me to change my mind, what I think of some people. I'm going to help the married couples here. Help me to change what I think about her. Help me to change what I think about him. Help me to operate in love by your ways. For some of us, this would be among the greatest of prospering in our soul to be different toward our spouse. It's different in you, and it'll come out different toward them. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, if that's where you are in your heart, in your soul, and you stay hooked up with that, there will be amazing change. There will be amazing change in you. It's already at work. It's already in you. You could go ahead and say this, I take it, I have it. It's mine, I receive it. I'm growing mightily. I'm changing. Hey, everybody, look at this. I'm different. And you're going to see more and more of the different me. Yeah. Glory to God. Scripture says that the devil's a thief, and when the thief is found out, he must restore sevenfold.
Yes.
I believe concerning our church, and you're part of our church, the thief has been found out. And he's going to have to restore sevenfold. Yes. Or quit opposing and God. I believe there's such a move of God starting now in this church. I believe there's such an anointing, not just on the minister, in you. For powerful work of God. I'm not necessarily talking about ministry towards others, but starting with change in you. I'm a different person than I was 2 months ago. It would be a shame if you didn't become a different person as part of this process. The enemy attacked a church, not just a person. He attacked an individual, a family, and a church. And it wouldn't be right if we didn't prosper mightily coming out of this. In other words, we're going to hurt the devil on our way out. I learned how to tear him up on some things. Let's tear him up. And it'll start in your heart, in your house, in your surroundings. Let's just give him a nervous breakdown. Amen. Put 3 John 2 up for us. We're going to turn it from what God says to us to what we say to God. Make it our confession. Let's say it this way. I prosper in all things.
I prosper in all things.
And I am in health.
And I am in health.
Just as my soul is prospering.
Just as my soul is prospering.
Now, can you remember it that way? Make it yours. Make it present tense. Make it ongoing, already at work. I am prospering. I am in health. My soul is prospering. Amen. And that can be the thing for you to consider all week long. Just keep saying that. Let that be your rhema word for this week. Consider it, consider it, consider it, and judge it. That's right. That's right. Well, what do you think? I think I'm prospering in everything. Really? You are? That's going to surprise people. They're going to like the attitude. Well, not all will like the attitude, but I think I'm prospering in everything. I think I'm healthy. Oh, you don't look so healthy. Oh, well, you just haven't seen it all yet. You don't see what I see. I am in health, and my soul is prospering. It's got to get in you before it's going to come out of you. Once it gets in you, it's going to come out of you. Amen. If this word gets in your heart, it'll start coming out your mouth. Yeah, we'll start saying new things. We'll find out our souls are prospering. Father, we just thank you for this opportunity and your word. We feasted today at the table. The table that, by the way, is in the presence of our enemies. The enemies didn't go away, but they can just, you know, pound sand over there because we're enjoying the feast even though they're present. We don't care about them. We don't care about them. We're over here at the table feasting. Yeah, they can look all they want. I don't care about them. They can holler and scream from the corner. I don't care about that. We are at the table of God. We are feasting at the table of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for working this work in us, for unleashing in this church a new anointing, a new work. Behold, I work a new work. Amen. And we're having it. We're having it. Right now, we're having it. I'm having it. Are you having it? I'm having a new work of God. I'm having a new work of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, Father, we thank you for all these things. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.